This extra special episode is brought to you by Lynda.com, the destination for trusted and trustworthy treasure trove of online video tutorials and courses. It's 2015, and maybe one of your goals for the new year is to learn something new. Like maybe you want to learn how to get started on your own podcast, or take better notes, or make an app. With a Lynda.com subscription, you will receive unlimited access to thousands of online video courses that cover a variety of software, creative, and business topics. So what do you want to learn this year? Visit lynda.com/goodjobbrain to try lynda.com free for 7 days. And that's lynda.com/goodjobbrain. Learn something new in 2015 with lynda.com. And now, the long-awaited Best of 2014 show! Feisty and fiery, friendly, fact fanatics looking forward to 2015. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 141, and I am your humble host, Karen, and we are your glad globs glittering with glowing glitz who are gluttons for glutes and galadriel.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
We are on site recording at the legendary Trader Vic's restaurant and bar, and we've mentioned this place a bunch of times on the show, the birthplace of the Mai Tai. Yes. Dana talked about
which
that
we've
before.
Now had.
Yes, very good.
Oh, yes.
Some of us more than one.
Yeah. Delicious.
Well, so that's Dana.
They actually have two different variations, which is one is the original 1944 Mai Tai, which might not be quite what you think of when you think of a Mai Tai now, and then they have the more traditional Mai Tai. I think we all stuck with the 1944 one, right?
Oh, I think we made sure to get a mix, because, yeah, you have to be able to compare.
So today is our Best of 2014 episode. We are going to celebrate, highlight, and feature some of the best, the funniest, the weirdest, the mind-blowingest moments on Good Job Brain, and we've asked our loyal listeners and on Twitter and on Facebook to help us curate some of our most memorable segments. We had a super awesome year. It started in January where we won a Stitcher Award. We had our first on-the-road recording with our two Las Vegas episodes. And then our first fan meetup.
That was awesome. That was great to see everybody come out in person and put faces to our listeners.
Yeah. We hit our 100th episode and featured our funny and touching listener messages in, I think, March. And then we had our second meetup in San Francisco. We ran our first big real ads in the San Francisco train station and had a butthole gate happen where they didn't let us publish, or no, they asked us to take out the beaver butthole from our ad because of butthole. Chris had a baby.
I did.
The baby is here with us.
The baby's here in the studio, yes.
So lots of stuff happened. And of course, we are pub trivia enthusiasts, and we're so happy to share our passion for facts and trivia and histories and all that stuff with the world and with other people who are as curious and nerdy as we are. And if you're a new listener, welcome. You're in for a weird tasting treat. And if you're already a Good Job Brain listener, we want to thank you for all of your support, and we invite you to skip down memory lane with us.
Well, I think we would all agree that the absolute most difficult thing about doing this podcast is putting together those history segments, right? It's a lot tougher to, I think, research a whole topic, become a sort of a mini expert about something you started to, and then to tell an interesting story.
In the space of a few days, yes.
Right. In the space of the couple of days that we have to spend preparing the podcast. And so when one comes together really well, when you get into that groove of researching something, and you really start to like go down the rabbit hole and find those really interesting pieces of information, and the story comes together, that can be some of the most magical moments, I think. And so here are some of our best historical stories segments of the past year.
I'm gonna start us off with as highbrow an approach to the butt as I could think of
before it spirals down.
I'll meet you down at the other end. Believe me. Yes.
Wow.
We will close out with some lowbrow later in the show. So I'm gonna do a little bit of my I'm a word nerd and I like doing the etymology stuff. So let's talk about the word butt.
Our collective butt.
How old of a word do you think butt is?
Very
old.
It
super
is
old.
Pretty old.
Like, I think they probably spell like B-U-T-T-E, maybe.
They did, Karen. Really? Yep. You got a good butt-y. Linguistic sense.
Wow.
Yeah. So butt meaning generally like the thick end of something is kind of the most direct – kind of the most direct antecedent to our sense of, like, your posterior.
Uh-huh.
And that goes back to at least 1400. And you're right, Karen. It came from originally B-U-T-T-E.
And it's not short for buttocks.
It was not short for buttocks necessarily.
Oh, okay.
But so the word the butt of something would just be, as I say, the thick end of something. Mm-hmm. You can see not too much of a leap from there. Yeah, by only 50 years or so later, it was definitely already being referred to as your rear end, your posterior
butt. But everything had a butt. You know, you had a butt. Button this, you know, this stick over here with
cigarette
a cigarette
butt.
Yeah.
Sure,
butt
right.
On the end
yep,
of
the butt
right,
of a tree or the butt of
right.
And so here's what's interesting. I had always assumed it was just short for buttocks. It makes sense, and it's not necessarily true. You know, again, these words are so old they can't be 100% sure, but they think that they came from different places. So buttocks seems most likely to come from a 1200s word, buttock, B-U-T-T-U-C, which was Old English, which meant a short piece of land or the end of something.
Huh.
So that also kind of makes sense.
Your butt is a short piece of land.
Yep. It's also the thick end of something.
Sure,
right. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
When we say that, like, something abuts something else, like, is up against it,
that comes from a different source.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as does buttress.
So buttress doesn't come from.
As I got deeper into the butt.
Yeah.
I was really interested in all these words that have butt or some. Or how related are these words?
Yeah, because they sound all kind of similar.
They do.
In terms of the meaning.
They really do. Yeah, buttress comes from a different root. The verb meaning like to butt something with your head comes from a different source as well. And again, I had assumed they were related. That sense of butt most likely comes from botter, like a French verb meaning like to push or to shove or to knock. And they all kind of just sort of settled in the same spelling of B-U-T-T. The word butte, you know, like a geographical feature, not related at all. Butte comes from a French word but, B-U-T. And we'll come back to that in a minute, that French word. And that one had a lot of different meanings to it. How old do you guys think the word butthead is? What do you think the first usage of butthead was?
I think it's probably something technical.
1697.
Wow.
I think people use butts as insults for a long time.
Probably.
Chris is pretty close. It goes back to at least the 1630s, butthead. But it didn't mean what we mean now.
Oh, man.
Originally just meant like the butt end of an object.
Yeah, okay,
it was like it's the butt head of a log or something like that.
It's the butt head of a log.
They don't date until late 1980s, the current meaning of butthead.
Wow.
Yeah, really? I was surprised. Really? I would have guessed earlier. Butthole? You guys care to guess how old butthole is as a term? That goes back to the
30s?
Early 1900s.
Oh, okay.
And again, had a different meaning originally.
What?
A butthole originally, I know. It meant like a cul-de-sac. Or like a blind end or a blind hole.
Colin, this doesn't make sense because everybody has one. All animals have one. There was no word to describe what this
Sure, there were words
to describe
it.
They just didn't use this particular one. So it just meant if you lived at the end of a street with a cul-de-sac on it.
You're
or
a butthole?
I'm down on the butthole.
Oh,
yeah,
and
the blind hole.
Yeah.
You talk about somebody being the butt of a joke. Like, I never really quite understood this as a kid. I was just imagining like, well, butt is kind of, you don't want to be the butt. You're the end of the joke. I kind of made up a meaning for it. It turns out that no, butt of a joke is related to the French word I mentioned earlier, but, B-U-T. So originally, the butt also had a meaning of like a target. Mm-hmm. So like a butt was like a shooting target. Like that's who you're aiming the joke or the prank at somebody.
Man, we got a lot of butt words.
We got a lot of butt words in English, certainly.
So many.
Yeah.
And they're not referring all to the butt.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a fun little math game for you guys, which I'm going to ask you to choose between different options.
Okay.
So first, there's going to be two exercises. So first, I'm going to give you guys a choice. You can either gamble or you can play it safe.
Whoa.
Option number one is I will give you an 80% chance of winning $4,000 and a 20% chance of getting nothing. Okay. Or you can pick option number two, which is a 100% chance of me giving you $3,000. Tell me, just right now, spur of the moment, what would you jump for?
Okay, so repeat the options again.
I'm going to repeat the options. An 80% chance of getting $4,000, 20% chance of getting nothing at all, or instead of that, a 100% chance of getting $3,000.
Oh, the second.
You go for the second one?
Yeah.
I would take the second one,
You would take the $3,000? Yeah. Okay. You are in line with about 80% of people who would just take the sure thing. They would go with the $3,000.
That's a lot. It's still a lot of money. Yeah.
So here's question number two.
Okay.
Again, two choices. Option one, I'll give you an 80% chance of losing $4,000 right out of your bank account, or a 20% chance of breaking even and you don't lose anything, versus option number two, which is a 100% chance that you will lose $3,000.
I would take the 80% chance of losing $4,000.
You would?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I know it's irrational,
but
I would do
would you lose $3,000 for sure, or would you take the 80%, 20% chance of either losing more or losing $4,000, or 20% chance of you break even and you don't lose anything?
When you're talking about taking away something, it's different.
I hate my brain, but that's what I would choose.
I would choose the first option.
You would take the gamble?
Just for that chance that nothing happens.
Well, I'll tell you again, in this case, 92% of people choose to take the gamble.
Really?
And the thing is, both of the decisions that you guys made mathematically are actually... No, they're wrong. Oh. They're both the wrong decision. In the case of gaining money, an 80-20 chance to get way more money is actually a really good gamble that you should take, because the odds are so much better. And in the chance of losing money, you have a really good chance of actually losing more money. And the smart thing to do is just to lose the $3,000 if those are the two things you have to choose from.
Yeah.
But again, most people are like you guys and make the mathematically wrong decision. Why is this? This comes from No, you're just a normal person like everybody else. This comes from a 1979 study, and they called it prospect theory, or the theory of how people choose between different prospects, different prospective options that are in front of them. What they say that it shows is that people are not necessarily risk averse all the time, but that people are definitely loss averse. We do not like the idea of losing things. Yeah. So let me illustrate this with a personal example. A couple of years ago, I was on eBay looking at items that people had put up with a buy it now price as soon as they put them up, to see if anybody put up something that was a lot cheaper than it should be so I could buy it really quickly. In rapid succession, this happened. Somebody put up a video game for $50, and I knew that video game was worth about $500, so I very quickly bought it. Then they put up another video game that was $50, and I thought to myself, oh, is this one worth money? It's worth a lot of money. I think it is, but I don't know if I want to pay $50 because maybe it's not. In that span of time that I was thinking about it, somebody else bought it. Mm-hmm. And then I did a little bit more research and I realized that other video game was worth at the time about $300, and I totally should have bought it. So I get the game that I had gotten at a great, great deal in the mail. Was I happy?
No.
Because all you were thinking about
was the one that got away.
It was the score of a lifetime. It was an amazing, amazing deal for this really rare game. And when I think about that day, I feel a twinge of regret that I lost out on the other one. So even though I came out way ahead, I count it as a loss. Like, if you gain $100 and lose $80, you think to yourself that you lost, even though you're $20 ahead of where you used to be.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
People... You should take, like, the 80-20 risk when it's in your favor, and you should not take it when it's not in your favor, but people don't think of it like that. You don't want to have the bad feeling of losing.
No.
And you guys are thinking about, well, I mean, if I'm going to lose $3,000, I might as well lose $4,000, because it's not the money, it's the bad feeling, and you're going to feel bad whatever, so you're going to take the outside chance that you're not going to have the bad feeling.
That's absolutely right. True. Yeah, and like I can feel myself thinking that, and I'm like, no, that's wrong. Oh, but there's a chance. Yeah. I've got a 1 in 5 chance.
And this is why this is a component of some people getting addicted to gambling. If you're gambling and you've lost money, the smart thing to do is to just stop and walk away. Mm-hmm. But people will throw good money after bad because they want to get back their losses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is why sometimes like people will start behaving more recklessly when they're gambling after they've lost money, because they're trying to
Hail Mary.
Because they want to avoid that bad feeling of I lost. And if they can at least get back to having broken even, they'll walk out feeling good.
In your first example, 80% chance of winning $4,000 and 20% chance of winning nothing. If I'm in that 20% chance, I'd feel so bad.
You'd feel terrible.
I'd rather just get $3,000.
You would feel like you lost the $3,000 that you could have gotten. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a study in 2012, and this study is still kind of in its early days. But the study linked the presence of the chemical norepinephrine in the brain to a lessened sensation of loss aversion. Hmm. If you've got more of it in your brain, you don't feel those losses as hard. And so,
can I take it?
That's the thing. Yeah. They're trying to come up with, like, is there a way we can actually medicate people to get rid of their gambling addictions? Because if we put more norepinephrine in there, they won't feel the loss as hard, and they won't feel as compelled to go, quote, win back their losses.
Wow. That's really interesting. Yeah. If you guys are like me, you had your share of bad Halloween costumes as a kid. Some years I was like lucky enough to have a grown-up help me, you know, and I would have like a really I was an awesome vampire one year.
Oh, yeah.
My mom spent a lot of time, had this cool cape, and we got the makeup and the teeth. And there were other years, though, like I remember quite specifically years where it was more like when I had my E.T. costume. Mm-hmm. So this was a store-bought, off-the-shelf E.T. costume.
So that you're E.T., you're not Elliot. Yep.
I was E.T.
Like
right?
A hospital gown plastic. This is like thing that wrapped around you.
1982,
yeah.
You know.
The height of E.T. mania.
And as a way of introducing the rest of the story, I would like to play for you a short clip from The Simpsons, a Treehouse of Horror episode.
Check it out, Lisa. I'm Radioactive Man.
I don't think the real Radioactive Man wears a plastic smock with a picture of himself on it.
He would on Halloween.
Yes.
Your E.T. costume is E.T. on a shirt?
It was a shirt.
The writers had exactly the same experience I did. Yep. Yes, it was the mask was decent enough. It was a decent enough mask of E.T. It looked like E.T.'s face. But the rest of the costume was essentially, it was an apron with a picture of E.T. on it. And, you know, even as like a little kid, I felt like I was getting ripped off. I'm like, I'm not dressing up as E.T. This is more like I'm a walking tribute to E.T.
Right.
You know? I'm an E.T. fan.
Yeah. Oh. And the masks, again, if you know what I'm talking about, these were the most uncomfortable. They had the tiniest, tiniest little eye slits.
Yeah. They're made out of plastic that you would ordinarily use in that configuration for a picnic night. the edges of it would so just sharp. Cut you up.
They were sharp. And they had these weird little nose slits.
If you're dressed up as He-Man, you look like E.T. If you were dressed up as Barbie, you look like E.T. Because you had these like Voldemort snake nose slit things in the mask. The rubber band.
It was stapled
to the plastic.
The staples by your face.
Yeah, this brittle rubber band that you'd put over and it would just pop right off. By the end of the night, the mask is off. The smock strings are falling off, and it's not even a long night. It's like 2 hours later. You're just dragging this thing around town.
I totally see why your smock had a picture of E.T. Like I was Smurfette, and so it looked like a dress. It didn't have a picture of Smurf, but E.T.'s naked, so it would look like a little kid, like that's dressed in a naked costume, which is weird.
Right, which is interesting, but it is interesting when you think about it, the idea of the sort of connotative versus denotative. It is E.T. versus the image. It's not so much you want to look like E.T., but you want to profess your love for E.T.
I did want to look like E.T.
I don't think that they could have made it look right.
Oh, who are you dressed as, little boy? I'm a shrine to E.T. I'm a collection of some impressions. Yeah. Right. I'm an homage.
Yeah. I am the zeitgeist. I am the feeling of the culture of 1982.
I'm a pastiche of E.T.-related moments.
I wish she said that.
All of these costumes were made by one company.
Whoa.
All of these costumes.
Whoa. Wait, these masks
with the smock type costume were all made by the Ben Cooper Costume Company.
Man, Ben Cooper.
And the Ben Cooper name was, for decades, the name in costumes.
Right.
And this is the story of a man who just saw an awesome opportunity to become the leading figure
costume
in his...
Costume king. Yeah, he was.
Yeah. The company's a lot older than I thought. I mean, they peaked, I think, in the 70s, 80s for sure, but they went back to the 30s. Hmm. So Ben Cooper himself is from New York, and he had a fairly regular start in professional costuming for, like, showbiz. He ended up making costumes for chorus girls, and he would outfit places like the Cotton Club, or he had a contract with the Ziegfeld Follies at one point.
Oh, wow. So he really – it's not – he's just a businessman. And a grand idea. He actually is in the trade.
That's right. That's right. And this was, you know, starting out in the 1920s. And, you know, as Chris alluded to earlier, like trick-or-treating as like a phenomenon, especially in America, really didn't start in earnest until like right around World War II and thereafter. But in the 1930s, Ben Cooper saw this was starting to become really popular. He noticed that there was an opportunity here for costumes for kids to go door to door. What made him so savvy was he recognized the opportunity for licensed costumes.
Mm. Sure.
Because anyone can make a ghost, anyone can make a vampire or a werewolf. Mm. So this is, you know, this is the 30s.
If he licensed it, that is very early.
That's
very,
right.
Very, very early in terms of licensed merchandise.
1937.
Mm-hmm. What was the first
He obtained the rights to, would you guys care to guess? What would have been a big costume for 1937?
No.
No.
Disney? Mickey Mouse?
Is it Mickey Mouse?
He obtained the rights to Walt Disney characters and his Snow White costume.
Oh, sure.
Sold like anything that sells a lot. And he kept this on. Anytime there was something that he thought that could be licensed as a character, he was all over it. Like well into the 40s, into the 50s.
Wow.
And as trick-or-treating, it was kind of this like feedback, like, a lot of people give him credit for helping make trick-or-treating a thing because now kids could latch onto their favorite pop culture character. He sold tons of Superman costumes. He sold tons of Davy Crockett costumes. And it should be pointed out that for a lot of the time, he didn't have any real competition. I mean, he was just – there was nobody trying to get in to horn in on his business. As far back as the 50s, the Ben Cooper Company had made a generic kind of horror-y costume that they called the Spider-Man costume.
Okay.
And so this was in the 50s.
Okay.
A spidery man. Right.
Sure.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yes. So in the early 1960s, he got wind that Marvel Comics had created this new character called, of course, Spider-Man, and it was very popular. And they approached Marvel. So Ben Cooper was kind of like, partly I want to avoid a lawsuit, and partly I sense another great marketing idea.
His marketing sense was tingling.
This was Marvel Comics' first merchandising deal.
Oh,
wow.
Their first merchandising deal was for Ben Cooper to make costumes of specifically Spider-Man and then also Incredible Hulk and Thor, other characters.
Is this still the same, the mask and the character?
The mask and the smock, right. On into the 70s, he got the license for Star Wars. And so I remember a lot of these in particular growing up. There's a really bad Yoda costume from the 80s where it's a decent enough Yoda mask, but then the body of the costume is all green with a picture of Yoda's face. And then the Empire Strikes Back logo. Again, I know Yoda has a weird body, but it strikes me as supremely half-assed. But they were selling so many of these costumes, it doesn't matter. My favorite bad one that I found, though, was of the Fonz when Happy Days was big. I want to show you guys a picture of this one just because to describe it won't do it justice. The Fonz costume was a Fonzie mask and then a smock with a picture of the Fonz saying, hey, the Fonz.
In case you
at this point still didn't know who you were looking at, the Fonz is wearing a pin on his jacket that says Happy Days.
His thumbs up.
It's like the masks themselves were so low detail that, I mean, Yoda, you could probably figure out what Yoda is, but the Fonz mask, I mean, that looks like, could be anybody.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, you have to have the smock with the picture of the Fonz
to
let people know that you are the Fonz.
It's funny you mentioned the Richard Nixon mask, Karen. Like, when they started making presidential masks, those became another huge seller for them. Like, the bank robber, that is a Ben Cooper mask. That classic bank robber Richard Nixon mask, that was originally a Ben Cooper mask. Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah, what happened to it?
So sadly, you know, partly what happened was competition. You know, it was only so long but before other companies started realizing, you know, there's a lot of money to be made here in costumes. And particularly where Ben Cooper started to feel the pressure was on the high end was there were a lot of companies making these elaborate, molded, you know, latex, really high quality masks. In the 90s, they declared bankruptcy and they got bought by Rubies, which is now sort of the big name in they make adult costumes. They make kids costumes. They bought out
stuff.
I've ordered stuff from Rubies as well for my Star Wars related costuming. they bought out what was left.
But that's not for Halloween.
Yeah.
That's for every day.
Yeah. I decided I wanted to see a naked Yoda. I've said too much.
Did they ever show Yoda like topless? No, he's always in a robe. No, I'm serious.
Okay, no, I don't think so. Okay.
I don't think they ever showed him topless. Yeah.
That's funny. Take this seriously.
I forgot he wears a robe. Like in my mind,
yeah, that's
he's
all
naked
him.
Like E.T.
Yeah,
in my mind,
just wrinkly and green.
And fuzzy, green and furry.
Yeah, he's not furry. He has hair.
He has strands of hair.
Yeah, he has white hair.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe him as furry.
Well, have you seen Below the Robe?
No.
You
don't have. No, yeah, exactly.
Does the
curtain
match the ears?
So if you have fond or not fond memories of these crappy smock costumes like myself and Milhouse, thank Ben Cooper. I do think that necessity is the mother of invention. They do say that. And for me, necessity means running out of old quiz formats and trying to think of something new. I feel like all of us, like, we kind of pushed the boundaries this year of new formats, new types of quizzes, trying to keep things fresh. So here's a little bit of our experiments in quiz formatting technology. All right, I had a good time putting together this quiz for you guys.
Oh.
This quiz is called Brad Pitt or Lasers?
Interesting.
Okay.
What, that's not obvious to you what the quiz is about?
Yeah.
This quiz is going to be sets of pairs of wildly unrelated things.
Okay.
And you need to tell me which is older. So in every pair that I will be giving you, they are separated by at most 6 years.
Okay.
Sometimes a matter of months. So these are all very close to each other. So you each have a pad of paper. You guys will all be providing an answer here. Mm-hmm. So let's start off with the namesake question of this quiz. Which is older, Brad Pitt or lasers? Answers up. Karen and Chris say Brad Pitt. Dana says lasers. It is actually lasers.
Oh, I thought it was a trick question.
Yeah. They're very close. Brad Pitt was born in 1963. The first functioning laser was operated in 1960.
Hmm.
Wow. I knew Brad Pitt turned 50.
He did.
Recently.
Yeah. He just did. Which is older, the saxophone or Salt Lake City, Utah?
Did you just, like, pick two things and you're like...
I had a lot of fun putting this one together.
Nice. How do you...
Answers up. Dana and Chris say saxophone. Karen says Salt Lake City. It is, in fact, the saxophone.
Right.
I'm on the board.
The saxophone invented in 1841 by Adolf Sax.
What?
Yes. A Belgian music.
Mr. Sax.
Yes, Mr. Sax.
Okay.
Right.
And Salt Lake City, or Great Salt Lake City, as it was originally known, founded in 1847 by Brigham Young et al.
Hmm.
Which is older, Justin Bieber or the Sony PlayStation?
PlayStation 1.
The original Sony PlayStation before it had a number appended. And Chris, in case you're curious, this would be when it was released in Japan.
Yeah.
Because I know you have very fine-grained knowledge of such things.
Yeah, I'm pretty...
This is close. It's very close.
I know the year Justin Bieber. Oh, okay.
It is very close.
It is very close, but I think I got this.
Okay.
All right. Answers up. Everyone says Sony PlayStation. Everyone is wrong.
Oh, what?
Justin Bieber was born March 1st, 1994.
Oh,
the Sony PlayStation was introduced December 3rd, 1994.
Yes. Woo. By a hair.
Yeah. Yes. Great, great year for entertainment, 1994.
Well, that was also the year Kurt Cobain died.
Oh,
yeah.
Way to bring us down.
Was he rebirthed as the PlayStation or Justin Bieber?
Which is older, the Mousetrap or the game of basketball?
Oh. By the Mousetrap, you mean the classic spring-loaded one?
Yep.
Cheese included or not included?
Cheese not included, just the trap.
All right.
Answers up. Karen and Chris say Mousetrap. Dana says basketball. It is, in fact, basketball.
Whoa.
Yes, basketball, invented in 1891 by Dr. James Naismith. The Mousetrap. Invented and patented in 1894 by William C. Hooker.
By William Mousetrap.
By William J. It is pronounced Mousetrap.
Mousetrap.
Yeah. Which is older, Betty White or penicillin?
Oh. That's good. Shoot.
Answers up. Karen says penicillin. Chris and Dana both say Betty White. Betty White is, in fact, older than penicillin.
Yeah.
Betty White was born in 1922. Penicillin was discovered and isolated in 1928.
Wow.
She's a lot older than penicillin.
Yeah. She was good. She was a little girl.
Holy cow.
And of course, they did have some idea that mold was involved, but yes, Sir Alexander Fleming coined the name and concentrated it in 1928. All right. Last one here, guys. We'll close this out. Which is older? The first episode of The Simpsons or the earliest known web page?
Interesting.
Known web page.
The oldest known web page. Answers up. Karen says Simpsons. Chris and Dana say first web page. Karen is correct.
Yeah!
Whoa.
The Simpsons Christmas episode aired in 1989.
Yes.
And the generally accepted date for the oldest known web page is 1991.
Huh.
It is.
What was it?
It is possible there were web pages as early as 1990, but the Simpsons would still be earlier. Yes.
What was the first web page?
It's a long and not very interesting story.
Oh.
Tim Berners-Lee has a copy of it on a disc. It's a super, super nerdy story.
Okay.
All right. Well done, guys. Let's tally up our scores here. All right. And our winner coming out on top is Dana with a whopping 4 points.
The winner of...
The winner
like
of...
Brad Pitt or Lasers.
I'll take both, please. Oh.
Well done, guys.
So... I have a quiz for you guys. It's called Ya Burnt, the classic literature version.
Ya Burnt.
So I went through Amazon and I found 1-star reviews of classic works of literature. So I'll read a snippet of somebody's 1-star review of a work and you try to figure out what it is, what book it is.
All right.
My God. Are these like joke reviews or are they serious?
Oh, no. I think they're sincere. A lot of them talk about having to read it in high school. Like, they were working on a paper, and they're just like,
They needed to vent somehow.
They needed a vent. And I, you know what? I don't necessarily agree with these. Like, I think some of, I've read most of these already, and I was like, I liked it okay, or they were, I really liked some of them. But, these people did not. They did not like it.
Oh, my God. All right. Guess the book by its one-star Amazon review.
Yes. All right. I so hated this book that I found myself hoping the entire Jode family would get mowed down by a Zephyr hurtling down the highway so they'd be put out of their misery. Unfortunately, Death Race 2000 wouldn't get made for another 36 years.
All right. The Grapes of Wrath?
Yes, by John Steinbeck.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. The fatal flaw in this piece of literature is its inability to stay relevant. Postmodern society does not really care about baby daddies, and the revelation, which is made at the end and the beginning of this novel, is reproduced daily on morning television a la Maury. Unfortunately, Nathaniel Hawthorne, you are the father of this literary disaster.
Colin. That the Scarlet Letter.
Yes.
Wow, sassy.
I know. I was like, burn. And then... personally, I would have rather been trapped on a deserted island for a couple of decades with a wreck of a ship than read this classic again. Karen.
Robinson Crusoe.
Yes, Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. This one's title is Great American Novel, You Are Not. It was like, snap, snap. Like, yeah, and then it goes, this book does an okay job of portraying that rich post-World War I 1920s era apathy generation, but the problem with portraying apathy is that your readers are going to be apathetic. Chris.
Is this The Great Gatsby?
The Great Gatsby. F. Scott Fitzgerald. All right. So I was looking around. I was like, you know, these are sassy. I bet book reviewers were also pretty harsh on some of these classics when they first came out.
Contemporaneous accounts. Like,
yes.
Okay, sure.
So here are, I'll just do three from critics who critiqued these books when they first came out.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And were very sassy, I must say. It's undeniably news in the world of books. Unfortunately, it's bad news. There are two equally serious reasons why it isn't worth any adult reader's attention. The first is that it's dull, dull, dull in a pretentious and archly fatuous fashion. The second is that it is repulsive. So both dull and repulsive.
Dull
That's their
and repulsive.
Repulsive. And I'll give you a little hint. This was in the New York Times in 1958.
Wow.
No.
Chris.
Is it A Clockwork Orange?
No. Huh. It's Lolita.
Oh.
By Vladimir Nabokov. Yeah. Appears to have been written by a perverted lunatic who has made a specialty of the literature of the latrine. There are whole chapters in it without any punctuation or other guide to what the writer is really getting at. Two-thirds of it is incoherent, and the passages that are plainly written are devoid of wit, displaying only a coarse alacrity intended for humor. Chris.
Is it Cat's Cradle?
No. This is 1922.
Oh, 22.
Ulysses?
Ulysses.
Yes!
James Joyce.
A whole sections without punctuation.
Yep. All right, last one. This book, though, it's too long, gets kind of monotonous, and he should have cut out a lot about these jerks and all that crummy school.
This is an official book review?
They depress me. And this is from the New York Times in 1951.
Is this Catcher in the Rye?
Yes, this is Catcher in the Rye.
Wow.
J.D. Salinger.
Kind of mocking the style. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I was like, it sounds so casual on New York Times.
Seems awesome. Like you can't have it both ways. If you're going to diss the book, you can't appropriate its style to do so.
Right.
He's just mocking it, though.
Dull, dull, dull.
Yeah.
Two snaps. It's like the old In Living Color sketch, Men on Films, on Books.
Blaine... Blaine Edwards and Anton Merriweather.
That sounds right.
That does sound
Blaine Edwards, yes.
And
Antoine Merriweather.
Wow. Nice, Chris. Nicely pulled out.
Brain hanging on to that
one. Snaps around the world and
in a V formation. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, man.
All right.
Awesome. That was a great segment. All right, I have extreme 90s segment for you guys. And, of course, what's 90s without... pop music. 90s was really kind of the height of pop, and I have a music quiz for you. It's all about pop boy bands from the 90s.
Okay.
And I have to preface this. It's not just a random, assortment of boy bands I pulled out. Like, the thing is, like, people have to understand, the success of New Kids on the Block in the late 80s sparked the whole boy band pop movement of the 90s. And so all of these bands in the quiz are related to that, not even resurgence, but because of New Kids on the Block. This is how the format's going to go. I feel like Dana has an upper edge on this quiz, being a girl growing up in the 90s and also likes pop. So for her, she has a notepad, and she's going to write down what she thinks the artist is from the music clips I'll be playing.
Okay.
And Chris and Colin will work together,
team
up, and try to see if you can get it. One big hint is, as long as you know what the lead singer of all these boy bands sound like, you probably can guess the boy band.
Wow, that's great.
But like Justin Timberlake. You know,
sure. If I knew what Justin Timberlake sounded like, I would be able to guess that it was.
All right, here we go. We got two brains here.
What was Justin Timberlake in?
I have a feeling you guys
are going to beat me.
He was NSYNC. Degrees.
He was NSYNC. Yeah.
Nicholas Shea was 98 Degrees.
Oh, don't give us his answer.
She's helping us.
Whatever, it's okay.
Yeah, because we don't know what he's talking
about. He doesn't know what this is.
All right. Here we go. First one.
Okay. This is the song I'm Not Picky by the Backstreet Boys.
This is As Long As You Love Me. I think this is NSYNC.
No, this is the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, it is the Backstreet Boys?
I believe. No, okay. Yeah, this one I'm
okay,
pretty
you seem
sure.
very confident.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I will defer to Chris on this one.
Okay.
All right, you guys, boys say Backstreet Boys?
Yes.
Dana, reveal your answer. Backstreet Boys!
All right.
Okay.
Correct. All right. Next one.
Girl from Abercrombie and Fitch. New Kids on the Block had a bunch of hits. Chinese food makes me sick, and I think it's fly when girls stop by for the summer. For the summer, I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. I'd take her if I had one wish. But she's been gone since that summer. Since that summer. Cherry pants, cold crush, rock stud boogie. Used to hate school, so
I.
If you don't know it, you don't know it.
They sing New Kids on the Block? I mean, I think
they were just name checking them at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
They also talked about how Chinese food makes them sick. Yeah, I mean.
Okay.
I don't know.
Just throw a.
I know, I want you to guess something because I really.
It's in a punch bowl in your head.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's in the punch bowl. Yep.
It's somewhere in there.
I mean, I don't think it's NSYNC. I've never heard it. Is it
like O-Town?
O-Town. Is it O-Town?
Incorrect. Dana? LFO.
The light funky ones.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
That was not in my punch bowl.
Is this
in
your punch bowl?
No.
I didn't think it was.
That was not in the punch bowl.
It's very specific.
So this is actually very related to New Kids on the Block. I mean, obviously, they do some kind of rapping.
Are they related to the Funky Bunch?
Mm-hmm. No, they just, so they did a cover of New Kids on the Block Step by Step. And that kind of gained some attention. And they actually worked with Danny Wood from New Kids on the Block in the kind of behind the scenes production process.
There you go.
All right. Next one.
I'll tell you. Yes, I'll tell you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sunshine after the rain. You're the cure against my fear and my pain. Because I'm losing my mind.
I'm leaning toward 98 Degrees on this one.
I feel like we should just keep guessing O-Town over and over and over again. So
eventually.
One point, yeah. But you want to say 98 Degrees?
Yeah, I just for some reason.
Okay, all right.
Getting a Nick Lachey vibe.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dana, answer up.
98 Degrees.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is what Nick Lachey sounds like.
Okay.
Pretty very, bad.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, Nick Lachey.
I like Nick Lachey.
Oh, God.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure he's crying all the way to the bank.
Yeah. So in this quiz, I haven't put any, you know, there's All For One, which is kind of a boy band, but there were two camps in the 90s. You had boy bands, pop boy bands, and you had what Boys to Men kind of sparked yeah. were all these harmonizing R&B groups.
Right.
And to me, they're very different camps, right? Boy bands are very designed, whereas the more R&B groups are more, you know, kind of like a cappella group. You have a bass, it's based on voice need. And the funny thing is, you know, when I say they're more designed is all the boy bands, you can name the lead singer of all of them. Whereas for a lot of these R&B bands, there's no one star. You know, there's I can't even name anybody from All for One. And for 98 Degrees, they kind of also started this because they're a pair of brothers. They're the Lachey brothers and two other dudes. And
oh, so, I didn't know that.
So that kind of gave them a family edge.
Ah, what's the other Lachey brother doing these days?
Drew Lachey. He won Dancing with the Stars.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. This one is a little bit more international.
Well, the fact you said international.
They're British.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A British.
And the creation of this band is solely because, you know, the manager or like the record head saw the success of New Kids on the Block in America and was like, we gotta jump on this.
Was there a band called, is it two words?
Yes, two words.
Is it Take That?
Yes!
Yeah!
Wow!
Oh. Good night, everybody.
Wow!
I'm done.
Wow!
I put something else, and then you said that, and I was like, "That's the name of the band." I knew what I put was not the right one. Like there are two of them. I knew. Yeah.
Main singer is Gary Barlow, who wrote most of the songs. Actually, he was a talented songwriter. They kind of build a band around him. Robbie Williams, most notably.
Okay,
came from Take That.
Was Ronan Keating in that one as well? Was he in the other one?
He was in Boyzone. All right, next one.
Is this one going to be NSYNC, do you think?
I think so.
Yeah? All right.
I think so.
Let's go for it.
Dana, interrupt.
NSYNC.
NSYNC, it is. Yeah. And I was tricky. I actually did not pick a clip with Justin Timberlake.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was JC Chazé.
Yeah.
Who's the other lead singer. The brunette lead singer. They always have a blonde one and a brunette one.
Yeah. There's the brooding one, the cute one.
The older
one. It's like a poo platter.
Yeah.
The one with glasses.
Yeah.
All right, last one, last boy band. They're all blending together now.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Here's one more. I've had the rest of you, now I want the best of you. It's time to show and tell. Cause I want it all, or nothing at all. There's nowhere left to fall when you reach the bottom. It's now or never.
Wow.
All right. I mean, I'm pretty much like down to like, I can only think of two more. Like, I can think of like O-Town or Menudo.
We can't. I don't think it's Menudo. I think we keep saying O-Town, so we should probably just.
you don't think she would have doubled up, right?
No doubling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was.
No.
That's what okay.
Yeah. Those are literally the only two that I can.
Let's
think
go
of.
With. I would not go with Menudo.
Okay.
For many reasons.
So, O-Town.
Sure.
Also, I think Menudo started in the 80s.
They
too,
really
like
did.
They,
yeah.
I guess that's true. You're right. Yeah. Not... yeah.
Okay, so you guys say O-Town. What did Dana say?
I said O-Town.
It is O-Town! Oh! Significance of O-Town is, so in the whole boy band craze, O-Town was the first or notable reality show.
I remember that they put them together on a reality show, and I was like, oh, okay, well, they're not going to become popular because this is clearly, like, they're up front just stating, like, we are manipulating you, and we, you know, it's like we're putting them together as this sort of marketed thing.
They actually are reuniting summer for a new album.
I've been wondering where they're just kidding.
Yeah. The reuniting was easy because none of them ever left Orlando.
Aren't they named O-Town for Orlando?
Yeah, for Orlando.
Orlando Town, as they call it.
Which is like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. They all started in Orlando.
Oh, yeah. There's like the hotbed of boy band culture.
Lou Pearlman or whatever.
Yeah. A lot of the NSYNC members and Backstreet Boy members, they're in kind of performing as kids in the parks or in the Mickey Mouse Club.
There was that guy. There was like the Svengali manager type dude who is organizing them.
Yeah, they're all...
Who just kind of like handpicked them and assembled them.
And Orlando was the hot town.
Got it.
Wow.
So there you go. Some of the major boy bands.
Well, I think Chris and I acquitted ourselves well.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether that's good or bad.
All right, let's get this party started with a little bit of a Lifetime movie title or not Lifetime movie title.
Okay, whoa. For our friends in the United Kingdom, Lifetime is the women's network.
Yeah.
Famous for such movies as...
Mother, May I Sleep with Danger?
It's very...
My Stepson, My Lover.
Very melodramatic, would you say?
Yeah.
TV movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, My Stepson, My Lover is a real one?
It's actually pretty good. I've seen that one.
Don't judge.
But it's a funny title. You feel weird while you're watching it, but I don't know. It's watchable. You can watch the whole thing. I think all of their movies are watchable once you
They set up these, you know, very provocative situations. And it's like, Mom, maybe I'll watch this. No one will know that I watched it.
You felt a little different after you watch it. So it's changed you in some way. All right. So Lifetime movie name or not Lifetime movie name. Okay. So thumbs up if it is a Lifetime movie. Thumbs down if it's not.
Now, so importantly, if it's not one, does that mean that it's a real movie from the, like, in the theaters or?
Did you make it up?
I made this up.
Oh, okay.
Wow. All from Dana's brain.
Yeah. All right. Let's get started. Let's kick this off the right way. My week with Aunt Flo. real title, not real title.
Not real.
It's not. Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to like set the bar so you understand. Right, you got two examples of real ones. That was a wrong. Okay. How about The Babysitter's Seduction?
It has to be.
How about My Baby the Magician?
My Baby the Magician. Honestly. No.
All right, fine. I made that. All right, how about The Mockingbird Murders? Sing Me a Song of Murder.
I want this to be real so bad.
I completely agree. I want it to be true.
It's fake.
Oh. Wait, what is the full title again?
The Mockingbird Murders. Sing Me a Song of Murder. Sing Me a Song of Murder.
Yes, importantly.
How about The Baby Monitor, Sound of Fear.
Oh, man. Yes.
It is one. Yes. Danielle Steele's Daddy.
Danielle Steele's Daddy. I'm going to say yes.
No.
I say no.
Yes, it is.
Oh, snap.
I believe it has the dad from Step by Step on there, Patrick Duffy. Yeah.
Well, I know the dad from Step by Step. Suzanne Summers, then I run out. Oh, no, Stacey Keenan was on that.
Yeah.
And then that's then.
You own them all on DVD. Just say it. It's okay.
Stacey Keenan's also from My Two Dads.
My Two Dads.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about?
A lot of broken homes for Stacey.
I know. She looks like a divorce kid or something.
Yeah. How about divorce kid look about
it? Yeah. Dead Ringer, 1-800-MURDER.
What? This is more of a... To say that
too
it sounds
pun.
Right is...
Too much
I don't know.
Pun.
No, I think it's just
I made
enough.
It up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dead Ringer, 1-800-MURDER?
It's too good.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm just kidding. Crimes of Passion, She Woke Up Pregnant.
Yes.
Crimes of Passion, She Woke Up Pregnant.
I don't think Dana would make this up.
I think this is two separate movies.
I don't think Dana would make this up. You guys think that she made it up.
I say no.
I did not make it up.
Oh, yes!
What is this movie about?
It's about a woman who is like in a coma.
Oh,
and she wakes up pregnant.
Oh, man. Yes. Wow. That is the quintessential Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know you're in for something terrible right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Me, myself, and I, my time with Princess Diana.
Me, myself, and die.
Me, myself, and die? I'm going to say no, because I'd like to believe that you invented that. That's a good...
I invented it.
Yeah.
That was you! Yes! Oh, me, myself, and die. Yeah. That's fantastic.
How about this one? I, me, wed.
I, me, wed.
It's like somebody wants to marry themselves.
I, me, wed. I, me, wed.
I'm going to say no, just because it would be too confusing like to read in the listings in the TV guide.
I'm going
to
say yes.
I'm going to say no.
It's yes.
Oh,
what is it about?
A woman who marries herself. Colin nailed it.
Wow.
The titles are very, very descriptive.
Sure.
How about this one? Last one. One Dave at a time.
I'm going to say you made that up.
I'm going to say no. This sounds like a sitcom.
This is like a show, though. It could be like a reality show of someone named... Oh, okay. I say true.
It's false.
One Dave at a time.
All right, I'm claiming victory.
Yeah, that was good. You did good. Yeah.
Here, I have a quiz about famous actors and actresses. The twist is, instead of answering the name of the actor I'm looking for, you have to do an impersonation of this person.
Okay. All right.
This is what you guys get for making me go first.
All right.
So you can say a famous quote or impersonate this person. And I chose very iconic celebrities.
Okay.
Nobody wants to buzz in.
We're all like, oh, no. Okay. All right.
Fine. I know your scheme.
Before playing the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Avengers universe, he was the voice of the superhero Frozone in The Incredibles. Colin.
Say what again?
I was like, I can't think of any Queen quotes.
What could he possibly say? I think in some of his movies, he may have uttered an A or a the.
Yeah.
I could also do, that's one tasty burger.
Nice. Can we just say their name and their accent? Like if we're like, Samuel L. Jackson.
The answer is, of course, Samuel L. Jackson. I didn't really think about that. I was like, oh, he's really iconic. I never really thought about, oh, his lines are not
PG. Every memorable
That's
line.
One tasty burger.
He's saying something sassy profanity.
How about these Monday to Friday snakes off this monkey fighting plane?
Right.
The edited for TV version.
Monday to Friday.
I think it might have been the other way around.
I think it was.
Monkey fighting snakes off this Monday to Friday plane. I want that job. I'm sure it's controlled by some sort of a secretive guild of the people who get to edit movies for TV. Yeah. I'm sure they're protecting their job because that is a sweet job. I'd be out of here in a second if they offered me that job.
All right. In AFI, American Film Institute's 100 Greatest Movie Quotes of All Time, the quotes in the number 2 spot and the number 3 spot are spoken by this late actor. So he spoke both the number 2 and number 3 spot.
The number 2 and number 3 best movie quotes of all time.
Okay.
Chris.
I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender.
Yes!
And also, I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
Right. Yes, wow.
Is that the two of them?
That's got to be.
So I'll make him offer he can't refuse. Number two.
Contender. From The Godfather. Contender is On the Waterfront.
Number three.
And they're both Marlon Brando.
Yes, okay. Marlon Brando. Very good job. You didn't need to tell me the quotes, but props.
Oh, okay.
This guy served 2 terms as the 38th governor of California.
Oh,
Chris,
get to the chopper.
Yeah.
Come with me if you want to live.
There's so many.
Yeah.
All right. Mr.
Sylvester Stallone.
It's not a tumor.
I think those are like the 3 lines he would least like to be remembered for, probably in his
entire
career.
To see you.
That's probably the least favorite one.
On the quote list, I'll be back must be on there, right?
I'm sure. Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course. The full name of this rap group hype man is William Jonathan Drayton Jr.
Oh.
Yeah, boy!
Oh, my God. Wow. I hope that's right. I hope it's
right.
Yeah,
I know. I really hope that's right.
Because he put it all out there.
I really did.
That's got to be Flavor Flav.
It is Flavor Flav.
Okay. Okay.
Flavor Flav. Very good. All right. Next question. This amateur singer behind a viral 2007 hit song likes to, quote, move away from the mic to breathe in.
Oh.
Dana, you want to hit this one?
Dana.
Chocolate Rain.
That went really well. I don't actually remember any of the other lyrics, but I do remember the...
Something
the
about prison.
Blackboard. Something like
that. Yeah, it was really... Yeah. People laughed at this song, but it was really deep.
It's like racial issues.
Yeah, yeah.
About, like, racial issues.
Right,
but
right,
it was just
right.
The...
He did the... Yeah. Like, well, he did the Dr. Pepper commercial, too. The cherry chocolate Dr. Pepper commercial, yeah, where he sang, cherry chocolate rain. And then one of the lines actually was... I move away from the mic to breathe.
That's really good.
Oh,
that was actually really good. Of course, the man here is Tayson Day, the brain behind the hit Chocolate Rain, famous on YouTube. Though she's more known for her hit 90s TV show, this actress appeared in movies like Saturday Night Fever, This Is Spinal Tap, and Weird Al's UHF, and of course, The Beautician and the Beast. Chris.
Oh, right. Jeez.
That's
the line I can think of. All right. Air 5. Okay. I'm across the table.
Good job.
Yes.
And that was, of
this
course...
This was, of course, a broken machine gun.
Fran Drescher.
Fran Drescher, star of The Nanny. He was initially created from a discarded spring coat and two ping pong balls halves for eyes. Dana.
The Lovers, the Dreamers.
Well, hey, that's good.
Kermit D. Frog here.
Yeah. Hi ho.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, yeah.
It's Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog.
All right, last one. Oh, my favorite one. The notable people who like to do impersonations of this actor include actors Kevin Pollak, Kevin Spacey, and of course, comedian Jay Moore.
Okay.
Colin.
I've got a fever.
Yeah.
Of course, Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Do more.
Scooch closer, children.
Ah, it's
don't
so
make
weird.
Me tell you again about the scooching.
Looks a weird which part is of just, my brain.
Which is Jay Moore.
Right.
One of my favorite skits on Saturday Night Live of recent years
reunion?
Was the Christopher Walken family reunion. Yeah, and so Amy Poehler, like, talking about her doll, she's like, she's a good doll. She doesn't respond well to spooky behavior. It just cracks me up.
All right, well, good job, you guys. That's a good way to start the show.
Yeah.
I like that quiz. I'll stick with you, Karen. I like that one.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
It was good.
And you're not fired.
So I've got a quiz for you guys called Slow Down, Lady. And I had as much fun just writing that on our little sign-up sheet.
Hi, baby.
Slow down, lady.
So, Karen, a few months ago, I had shared something with you that I stumbled across on the internet, which was
a lot of things,
someone... Yeah. Yeah, can you narrow it down? Someone discovered that if you slow down the Dolly Parton song, Jolene...
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, did you guys see this on the internet? From 45 RPM to 33 RPM,
yeah.
It is still a badass song,
right.
Even just it changes it completely, the feel of it. It just gets a lot more just downbeat and smoky and and very
manly.
Yeah, so let me play that for you guys very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 Jolene.
Yeah, it kind of gives me chills. That's it's a transformation of it.
Yeah.
So I put together some other famous songs by female singers and I've slowed them down the same proportion. So from
ladies.
Yeah, slow down, lady. Yeah. Right. So these are all women.
Next week is slow down.
I've forgotten the name of the quiz.
They're all really famous hit songs. You guys will probably recognize them. So in order to make this somewhat quiz-like, I want you guys to just raise a finger as soon as you identify the singer and the song, and whoever recognizes it last will win the prize of giving me the answer. Fair enough?
Okay. All right.
Some of them you'll probably get away.
That's interesting. So it's cool. You have to guess if you don't know.
Right.
All right, here we go. So again, I need singer and song.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day.
All right, you all got it pretty quickly, but Karen got it last. Karen.
You make me feel like a natural woman.
Correct. As sung by...
Carole King?
No.
Oh, is it Aretha Franklin?
It is Aretha Franklin. Yes, yes.
Why do I think it's Carole? She did sing that song.
She did it first. Okay. It's her song.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it changes it. Changes it. You're like, is this... Who is this voice?
Right.
All right, here we go. Next one.
Nope.
Madonna.
I mean, I know the song. I just don't know
All right. That is...
Borderline.
Madonna. Yes, Borderline by Madonna.
Wow, that also sounds like an 80s song, but like a slow ballad, like a dude ballad.
The synth kind of gives it away for 80s, for sure. All right. A little bit newer one here. Tell me who and what is this song?
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess. So I sit quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. I let you push me past the breaking point. I stood for nothing.
All right, I think Chris is passing on this one.
Pass.
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. Roar. Yes. Roar. Yes. Her voice really dropped a lot more than I would have guessed. You know, you kind of associate her with... She does.
It gets accentuated more.
Here we go. Next one. Who and what do we have here?
I let it fall. My heart, and as it fell, you rose to claim it. It was dark, and I was over until you kissed my lips and you saved me.
Oh, Karen, no take for Karen.
I guess.
Okay.
Sounds like Adele.
Yeah, it is Adele. Yeah.
I don't know what song.
Chris, you want to?
Set Fire to the Rain.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Adele, Set Fire to the Rain.
You know, it's funny. I with enough time, I think I would have gotten Borderline, but it's like I'm trying to like rush myself like through all the lyrics so I can get to the chorus.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
The sounds of it are not there, you know?
All right. Well, we'll close it out with this one. And see if you can get it first. Here we go. Slow down, lady. We'll see if you can get it last, rather, I should say.
Looks into my eyes.
All right, Chris, please.
Okay. Is this Whitney Houston?
Yes. Oh, yes.
She sounds completely
transformed.
How will I know?
Yes, correct. Okay. How will I know? By Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good job, guys. Slow your roll, lady.
These all sound like dudes.
Yeah, a lot of them really slow down.
Or evil spirits. What, you're going to wake up at like 3:33 a.m. at some night and just hear, "What's up, boy?"
So I have prepared a segment inspired by something that always destroys us at Pub Trivia. We get, man, we never get these right. And it's really interesting, and we're always like, we should study this, but we never really did. Until now, because I studied it.
Okay.
So I remember once one of our Pub Trivia questions was, I think the first of this kind of type of question was, if you type www.books.com, where will that take you? Mm-hmm. Where does it redirect to? And I think we had a big discussion. We're like, well, this seems like the obvious choice is Amazon. Mm-hmm. Turns out it's Barnes & Noble. Books.com redirects you to Barnes & Noble. And then we had another question probably a year after, which is, where does soup.com take you? It was multiple choice.
And if you think that books.com engendered a lot of arguments, imagine the argument over soup.com.
And I think the at least they gave us the multiple choice. It was it Campbell's? Was it Knorr, K-N-O-R-R? Or was it like Progresso? We're like, well, it seems like the obvious answer is Campbell's. Turns out it is not obvious again. It is Knorr. Soup.com takes you to Knorr.com, which is a dehydrated soups and sauces. And then last week... at pub quiz finals.
Finals, mind you.
The finals. The grand championship finals was, where does coffee.com take you? And we're like, all right, we learned our lesson. It seems like it is not going to be the obvious answer, which is Starbucks. We're like, okay, it must be maybe something like coffee brands that you buy. Mm-hmm. So like Folgers or Maxwell House. Yeah. Turns out, it was none of that. It was Pete's.com.
Berkeley. Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Pete's.com started in Berkeley early on.
Scene, yeah.
So here I found a couple of these generic names, redirects.
Yep.
I want you guys to talk about what you think it is.
Did you just typing random words in your browser?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
That would do it.
Took me a while because a lot of these are parked. They're squatters. Or, you know, like...
They're trying to sell it for like $1 million, basically.
Or that company is actually...
Like diets.com is diets.com.
Right.
And it's articles about diets.
Because once you get that brand name...
Right. You just kind of roll with it.
Or cars.com, right?
Yeah. Same thing. Car.com and cars.com. So these are definitely redirects to famous companies. Let's talk it out. Let's talk it out.
It'd be a group exercise.
Most of the time is not the obvious answer. Superheroes.com.
Marvel or DC,
right? I mean, who is more on the ball, Marvel or DC? That's really what this question is
asking. Talk it out that way.
Like, one of them. Oh no, they share it jointly,
I think they agreed to
share the term superheroes jointly?
Yeah, but who has the web?
Who has
the domain?
Superheroes.com.
She said they're not obvious. So okay, well, I think how about,
okay, so is it Marvel or DC?
It's one of those.
It's one of
those.
Right, okay.
I'm going to guess Marvel. I guess Marvel.
I'll guess DC, just to be on the other side of it.
Yeah. It is DC.
Okay. Cool.
DC. Mm-hmm. All right. News.com.
News.com.
Oh, man. Oh.
Is it like Rupert Murdoch, Fox?
News Corp? Or was it like Yahoo? Or was it one of the early web aggregation properties?
It's like, oh, man, I know this. Oh, wow.
I do. Tron's on the right track.
Is it like CNET? Is it CNET? Is it one of those?
It is CNET.
That's why I know this.
Yeah, CNET. All right. Let's do salad.com.
Oh, is this Hidden Valley Ranch dressing?
Yes.
Wow. I've heard this before. Yes.
Which is kind of like, I want to eat a salad. It takes you to ranch dressing.
Right. No, well, then,
it's good. It's very good.
They're kind of synonymous with eating a salad in America.
All right. Game.com, singular.
Game.com. It's Hasbro?
Correct.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
it is Hasbro.
Yeah.
Beautiful.com.
Oh. Sephora?
Maybeline?
Nope.
Okay, so not Sephora, not Maybelline.
Beautiful. Maybe she's born with it.
Cover
Maybe
girl.
It's Cheese Whiz.
Beautiful.com. Are we in the right ballpark?
This Avon. Is something. Let's think more corporate.
Oh.
Avon?
No. Oh, was it the did Dove? Girl. Did Dove have the
larger? Say that.
Larger than Dove?
Mary Kay Cosmetics?
Larger.
No, larger.
Like... Okay. Go up.
Procter & Gamble.
Unilever.
Procter okay. & Gamble.
Okay.
Right. Procter & Gamble company owns CoverGirl, Max Factor, okay. Pantene, okay. Olay. All right. Celebrity.com.
Oh. People Magazine.
People Magazine.
No.
No.
Us Magazine.
No.
Entertainment Weekly.
TMZ.
Celebrity. There's another company that's also called Celebrity.
Oh, Cruise Line?
Oh,
yes.
The, oh.
Celebrity.com redirects you to Celebrity Cruise Line.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
So very, very lucky that they got that.
Yeah.
And similarly, in the same vein, Hotel.com.
It doesn't go to hotels.com.
It goes to hotels.
Okay, right. Okay. I was wondering. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know that, like Google. It was mentioned earlier in the show.
Uh-huh. I had time to look it up since.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. If you type in google.com, it goes to Google. Like if you type in 3 O's, 4 O's, 5 O's. I tried this once, and you had to get to like 7 or 8 or 9 before like somebody else had stolen
it. Oh, wow.
Somewhere else. Yeah.
I would love it if it was just one person, like from like 1 to 100 zeros. Some dude just had like 19.
69.
Yeah. I'm taking this one to my grave.
Yeah.
Happy.com.
Happy.
Oh.
McDonald's.
Yeah.
No.
Happy.com.
This is a very good move on their
Wow. Okay.
Very good move on their
So it's not like Budweiser or something.
No.
Happy.com.
Hallmark.
Is it Walgreens?
It is Walgreens.
Okay.
Wow.
Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy. So I looked at... I don't know if you guys noticed, in San Francisco, at least, Walgreens had a really big marketing.
Everywhere.
Yeah, they're opening more stores, they had a rebranding, and they're really
Yeah, the rebranding is like almost a supermarket. You know, there's some places that have like fresh salads.
And, yeah. Happy.com doesn't take you to Walgreens storefront. It takes you to a page that says Walgreens have acquired Happy Harry's, which is a pharmacy. I've never heard of
it. Oh, so maybe they had it.
It could be Happy Harry's had Happy.com.
Interesting.
Walgreens also owns Drugstore.com and Dwayne Reed.
Yeah, Dwayne Reed,
Also, so...
I remember them more on the East Coast.
Big
yeah.
So I wasn't really making any kind of decision whatsoever if I went into Walgreens versus Dwayne Reed every time I was in New York City.
Nope, same store.
Gosh darn it.
And let's end it on this note. This is not really a quiz thing, but I found this really interesting. Pokemon obviously takes you to Nintendo's Pokemon destination. Pikachu.com takes you to the Pikachu character. Because, you know, of course, the Pokemon site has, like, bios for all the Pokemon.
Yeah, all 7,000.
So I was like, okay, do they own every single Pokemon name.com?
Do they?
They don't know. They don't own all. But the famous ones, Jigglypuff, Pikachu.com, goes to their not only Pokemon site, but their character bio site. TeamRocket.com also takes you to Pokemon. So I was trying those out.
Yeah, because they made all those names up and they tried to make them all super unique in like 1998 when they brought the game out in the U.S.
So, of course, there's a lot of,
Right.
Yeah, because those are unique
Names. They had the
jump
on it. And it would, by 98, you know, you should probably start registering these URLs for your product.
I think one of my favorite things about the show is being able to share new experiences with you guys. And I'm thinking specifically of the weird food that we try on the air.
Bad things in our mouths.
New pains.
Yeah. Here are some of our favorite food-related segments. So I went to Sweden a few weeks ago. I heard stories about their candy from my mom randomly when I was a little kid, and she told me about the flavors they had, and we'd laugh, which was such a weird, jerky thing to do.
It sounds like a one-sided conversation.
So I brought back a taste of Sweden for you guys, I'm not going to tell you what the flavors are.
Okay, all right, okay.
But I'm gonna give it to you. So some of these are traditional, some of them are new. I found out.
Okay,
will be kind of a blind taste test, except you can see the candy. It's okay for you to look at it.
Okay.
You just taste it. You tell me what you think it is, and then I'll tell you.
All right.
I'll
so
confirm.
We can look and we can taste, but we can't know. We must simply
I won't
guess.
Tell you.
Right.
Until you.
Are you going to tell us the name of the candy beforehand?
I could tell you the Swedish name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
I've been trying to practice my Swedish pronunciation of these.
I bet it's better than ours.
Well, it still might not be right, so sorry for the Swedish listener for laughing at your candy and also for mispronouncing.
We're not laughing at your candy. We're laughing with your candy.
We're laughing because it's not... Okay, yeah. Here you go.
Yeah.
The first one is called Salta Meissnicks.
Yeah.
Salty Meissnicks.
Salty Meissnicks. Delicious salty Meissnicks.
Well, they look like those Ritter bars.
It looked like chocolate.
Yeah.
This does not look. This looks like we're getting off to an easy start here.
Yeah, I'm right. Starting you guys.
Yeah,
gently. I'm gently easing you into the experience.
So there's nuts in here.
Okay, so it's chocolate, and there are things that look like
things.
Yeah, crunchy things inside. They're size of nuts, but they're not nuts. It tastes corny.
It does. It almost has like a corn nut.
It's a familiar flavor for sure. So it's basically it's a bar of chocolate with
are they peas or is it corn?
I can't identify what it is.
I vote corn.
I vote corn.
It's corn nuts.
Mm.
They're salted corn.
That's good.
Chocolate bar.
I like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With pretzels and chocolate.
This one is called Turkish pepper. I'm not pronouncing it correctly. It's actually made in Finland, but it's super common in Sweden and in Denmark.
I don't trust black colored candy, hard candy.
And if you bite into it, I'm told.
Whoa. Wow. Oh, my.
Mm. I'm scared. I'm so scared.
Do it. Just bite into it. Oh.
All right, so licorice on the outside for sure.
It's
like a burst of salt.
Yeah.
It's like salt.
Is it also hot?
Oh, maybe some pepper.
It's so salty.
It's like salt and pepper wrapped in licorice.
Usually when there's like salt in your mouth, it goes away after a while.
Yeah.
But it just keeps building and building.
It's a tsunami of salt.
A salt grenade.
It is. I think I have now fired all of these salt receptors off my tongue. That's bracing.
Oh, God, my toes are curling.
Wow.
I did not enjoy that.
So my friend was like, oh, no, they're really interesting when you bite into them.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, I couldn't make it to the bite into it part of that candy. I was like, I'm taking it.
So you have not had the experience?
It was in my mouth for a while. And I was like, nope.
You foisted this on us.
I have a palate cleanser for you guys, though.
Yeah, that was a palate cleanser in the sense
everything's
Batman
wiped out.
Little Boy were household cleaners. Yeah.
It's like you know when you burn your tongue and your taste buds are kind of numb.
Yeah.
It feels like that.
My whole mouth is just like void of sensation.
Okay, this is Bilar.
Bilar?
What are they? Bugar?
Bilar.
What are they shaped like? They're shaped like little animals?
Sharks.
Are they Swedish
fish?
Or
are they cars? They're either cars or sharks.
Oh, are they Swedish fish?
They're in pastel colors. No, they probably taste like burning. Bilar is Swedish for...
I think it's a little race car.
They're a little race car.
Yeah. Bilar is Swedish for car.
I have one of each color. So
It kind of looks like someone took normal marshmallows and squish them into little cars.
It does.
Like someone made these.
Yeah. Wow, that's remarkably resilient.
You squish down on it, it returns to its original shape.
Yeah.
They call these Sweden's most purchased car, because Bilar means car in Swedish.
This is Sweden's most tasteless candy.
It's because we don't have taste buds.
Yeah. They're actually quite savory if you haven't just eaten the salt grenade. It feels like it's in the same family as like circus peanuts. It's like a marshmallow.
You know those rings, gummy rings? Sometimes they have a white underside, like they're two sided.
Yeah.
It tastes like the white part.
It does.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes, it totally does. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So this is the last candy. It's been described as like, oh, you have to try this. This is the classic Swedish candy. Everybody's had it. It's really old type of candy.
Old.
It's called Ljungarvrål, which means jungle roar.
You know what I'm scared by is the fact that it's so small.
I'm scared that it's the color black because it always means licorice.
This looks like a poisonous fish. You know what I mean? Like on like the Nature Channel, they're like, its markings indicate its deadliness.
Yeah, it's black with white stripes.
Yeah.
Oh, they're little squirrels.
Maybe monkeys. the package has a monkey.
Like, oh, you know what? Like, yeah, it's like a monkey profile, and it's covered in sugar.
Oh, my. Wow. That packs a punch.
Mm. I don't want to do it.
So
you can take it out. Just put it in for a moment.
Salty. Do they need to get their sodium from their candy?
It tastes like Play-Doh.
Yes. Oh, man.
With once you get past the coating.
How is this candy?
Once you get past the coating of table salt on this thing.
Yeah, I thought it was sugar.
It is at least just it is at least just a piece of sticky licorice.
Now it's fine.
This thing has now taken the shape of one of my molars and will be there forever.
After the initial salt wears off,
yeah,
it's actually kind of tasty.
No.
That's my least favorite out of all of them, for
oh,
sure.
God.
No, I don't know. That
is, oh God, yeah, that whatever, what is that one called?
The Turkish pepper? Yeah, pepper.
Pepper? Turkish pepper is what batteries taste like.
It's sold everywhere. It's actually, I think, a Finnish, or from Finland. Well, there you go.
Can I have some more corn nuts chocolate?
yeah, you started out with the most delicious
thing. Oh, things started out
this
so
is
good.
This is a great segment. These are awesome.
Wow. It's trick candy.
No, they eat it sincerely. They don't even, their eyes don't even tear up when they're eating it. Like, they build up some kind of immunity. To
unlike
this.
You babies.
Yeah.
I mean, we're wusses. We're total wusses.
We're used to a different flavor profile.
Mm-hmm.
We're just used to crap load of sugar.
Sugar.
Anyway, there you guys go.
All right.
Yay.
Good job.
I don't know about you guys, but when it comes to foodstuffs, nothing is funnier to me than cheese.
Totally.
It's just...
funnier or better.
Yeah.
Saying it, thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys have set me up quite well. I have a quiz for you guys called, Hey, Where'd You Get That Cheese?
All right. I am a cheese whiz. So
we will be focusing on cheeses that are named after places in the world.
Right.
Usually where the cheese was first made, maybe where it became famous. These are all regional geographic names. I will give for you the name of a cheese, okay. And you guys each have a pad and a pen. I want you to write down for me what country this cheese comes from. Where, more specifically, what country does this cheese take its name from?
Got it.
Maybe a city, maybe a region. I think you'll figure out as we go. We'll start with one that I hope is relatively easy for some cheese connoisseurs such as yourselves.
Uh-oh.
So
okay.
Get your pens ready.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and purely because it amuses me, every question will be in the form of, hey, where'd you get that blank?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Sure. Hey. Where'd you get that cheddar? Mm. Where'd you get that cheddar? So the answer for all of these will be a country name. And answers up. Dana says England. Chris says Germany. Karen says UK. I'll accept UK. It is England.
Oh, yeah.
Cheddar, yes. Cheddar is quite specifically the village of Cheddar in Somerset, yeah. In England. Yes.
Cheddarshire.
The claim, their number one claim to fame, the original home of cheddar cheese.
Wow.
Yes. Hey, where'd you get that gorgonzola?
Country, right?
Country.
Not region.
Country. All right. And answers up. Hey, where'd you get that gorgonzola? Dana says Italy. Chris says France. Karen says Italy. It is Italy. Yes. Ooh. Yes. From the gorgonzola region of Milan. Hey, where'd you get that Gouda? Mm. Where'd you get that Gouda? Answers up. Dana says Netherlands. Chris says Switzerland. Karen says Netherlands. It is the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Chris.
Man, the two of you are really, you're up on your cheeses.
This is interesting little cheese history here. So the city of Gouda, it wasn't that this cheese was first made there. It was that it was known for being traded there. It was a wildly busy center of cheese trading, cheese selling activity.
Huh.
Gouda is a very old cheese. As far back as the 12th century, the cheese merchants would come out and agree and haggle on prices in Gouda. Hey, where'd you get that brie? Don't overthink these. Answers up. Dana says France. Chris says France. Karen says France. Yes, it is French. Seems French. It is French.
Point
from the Brie region of France. hey, where'd you get that Colby? Where'd you get that Colby cheese?
Oh. I feel like we talked about this. We shall see
if you know this. Answer's up. Dana says Denmark. Chris says U.S. of A. Karen says America. Yes, Colby is an American cheese. Oh, you are correct. Right. Yeah, Chris, you got one. Colby, Wisconsin. Yes, many cheeses come from Wisconsin.
Colby's one.
Yes. Hey, where'd you get that Havarti?
You're getting so, it's like illegal. Hey,
do you know where I can
contraband cheese? Where'd you get that Havarti? Answers up. Dana says Denmark. Chris says Germany. Karen says Denmark. It is a Danish cheese. Yes! It is from Denmark. This one I stretched a little bit on the region. Havarti is a relatively modern cheese, as cheeses go. I did not know this. Havarti was only invented in 1952 on a farm, and the name of the farm was Havartigard, just outside Copenhagen. Hmm. Hey, where'd you get that Gruyere?
Gruyere.
Where'd you get that Gruyere?
I heard you grew your own cheese.
And I will even give you guys a little bit of a hint here. There are no repeats on these answers.
Oh. Oh, I see.
No repeats. Where'd you get that Gruyere? Answers up. Dana says Germany. Chris says Switzerland. Karen says Switzerland. It is Switzerland. Yes. Yeah.
It's the fondue cheese.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. From the Gruyere region of Switzerland. The region actually has an S on the end. The cheese doesn't. But in Switzerland, it's Gruyere's. I mean, silent S, but.
Yeah. Switzerland?
Nice. Hey, where did you get that Jarlsberg? Where did you get that Jarlsberg? God. Answers up. Dana says Germany. Chris says Germany. Karen says Germany. Incorrect.
Wait, hold on. Can I guess?
Sure.
Is it Scandinavian?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I was writing this down. I was like, the Berg sounds German, but I know for sure
Jarl,
because of playing Skyrim.
Right.
All the heads are called Jarls.
Okay.
I would say Swedish. Or Norway.
Norway. Yes. Yeah. Yes. From the Jarlsberg region of Norway.
Jarl! The Jarls from Skyrim!
Didn't you put together a food cart in Skyrim and call it Jarls Jr.?
Yeah, Jarls Jr. Oh, my streak is gone.
Yeah, Karen is killing it on the cheeses. Hey, I smelled you coming around the corner. Where did you get that Limburger? Where did you get the Limburger from? And this one, I'll give you a slight clue. The place it's named after doesn't exist anymore. Oh. So I'll take what is the modern day equivalent.
Okay.
Answers up. Dana says Germany. Chris says Germany. Karen says Germany. No, not Germany. Man,
it's rubber Germany.
Belgium. This will be a Belgium, not Belgium. Yes. The no longer extant, the Duchy of Limburg, which was a state in the Holy Roman Empire. Most of what was the Duchy of Limburg is today modern day Belgium. Also parts of Germany, parts of Netherlands, but the capital itself, Limburg, was in modern day Belgium.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Belgium. The stinky cheese.
Oh, Belgium. Mm-hmm.
Although I did read that most of the Limburg-style cheese today does come from Germany, but it is not named after that. All right, last one, as we're traipsing the world, taking cheeses in where we find them. Tell me, hey, where did you get that Manchego? Where did you get
my favorite.
That Manchego cheese? And for a bonus point, what type of animal is the milk from?
Sure, got it.
Answers up. Dana says Spain and sheep. Chris says Spain and sheep.
Sorry, wrong animal.
Karen says Spain and sheep. That is correct. It is from Spain. It is a sheep's milk. This one is kind of a two-step regional name. Can you guys guess what the connection between Manchego and Don Quixote is? La Mancha. Yes. Manchego cheese comes from Manchega sheep, which are so named because they are native to the La Mancha region of Spain. And the real aficionados will say the reason that it has the taste it does is from the grass that only grows in La Mancha. And that's why.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Exactly. Entirely possible. Yeah. Yes. So
you have grass-fed beef versus corn-fed beef. You can taste the difference.
All right.
What's better?
It depends on your taste. It really does. It does. I mean, grass-fed beef is probably better for you.
But they're noticeable.
It has a really strong flavor to it.
Got it. I like this. This was fun.
Yeah, I think Karen might have taken that one.
Karen is the true cheese whiz.
Yes, you are. You verily, Karen is our cheese whiz.
So that is our show. Thank you guys for joining me 2014. And of course, thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you enjoyed this awesome year. Lots of things happened, and here's to an awesome 2015 and a whole brand new year filled with trivia goodness and offbeat facts. And of course, you can find our podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next year.
Bye.